TSN 690.
Oh God! I honestly, if he is in that deal, I don't know. I have to have somebody explain it to me. Like Bergie, please don't tell me you went and got John Scott. Oh.
Knuckles speaking for all of us earlier today on Off the Cuff, when it became apparent that Jared Tenorti was not on the plane to St. Louis, that something was up. And then it turned out Arizona had a couple of guys missing from their practice. Canadians fans, their hopes got, I get raised because, I don't know, Anthony DeClaire wasn't on the ice, but neither was John Scott. And so the Montreal Canadiens now have John Scott in their family. He is with the St. John's Ice Caps. Another NHL defenseman, Victor Bartley, formerly of Nashville, is also with the Montreal Canadiens. And Jared Tenorti ends up with Arizona. It's a three-way deal. Trying to make some sense of this afternoon. A lot of calls, a lot of texts, a lot of tweets. Pierre McGuire's next on Melnick in the Afternoon with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo. Mitch Melnick with you until 7 o'clock.
Hockey insider Pierre McGuire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub. Five locations, with a sixth now open in Chateauguay, and by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
I'm well, Mitch. How are you?
I'm puzzled.
Well, one thing I hope this will help you is Mark Bergevin would know John Scott from their days in Chicago. So maybe he knows something that the rest of us don't know. But in terms of him being able to come in and really help the Canadiens in terms of a playoff push, I think that would be a stretch. In terms of Victor Bartley, I think that would be a stretch. The player, you know, is a solid player, and he'll never embarrass himself, and he'll compete hard. But again, it's a depth player in an organization. That's what he is.
So when you add bodies, and you know, John Scott's an exception. I mean, I don't mean to be insulting, but let's face facts here. It's a different era in the National Hockey League. Canadians moved Brandon Prust for one of the reasons they moved Brandon Prust for that reason. But so if you're collecting bodies, you're adding depth to what you figure might be a move. And then the next logical conclusion, I suppose, is, well, they've cleared some cap space. But if they really wanted to do that, why not just put Tenorti on waivers and not get a body back? I don't, you know, there's, like, on the surface, as a standalone move, Darren Dreger reporting they've been working on this for 2 weeks.
I can tell you this is that Tenorti has been, his name has been out there for a while, whether it was through the Montreal media or whether it was through different people that I know in the league with teams. His name's been out there for a while. But this just doesn't seem like the proper remuneration for the Canes. But that they must have a plan. There has to be another part of this.
Well, that's what we're. Yeah, I think a lot of people.
And if there isn't, then I think this was a mistake. But we'll see. But there has. I believe you don't prejudge. You got to give him a chance to explain the whole deal.
Well, tellingly, as Rod pointed out, when the Canadiens issued the press release, normally when the Canadiens make a move of any kind, there's usually a statement from Mark Bergevin. There's a quote. There wasn't any in this.
Right.
There was no explanation from the general manager. No quote to use in a story. It was just the facts.
And that's why I think there's got to be more moving parts in this whole thing. So again, don't prejudge. They're not. They didn't just fall off the turnip truck. The guys that run the Canadiens, they know what's going on. But the one thing I would say, Mark knows the player. He knows both sides of John Scott because he worked with the player in Chicago, so he knows the player. I give him total credit for that. But again, this on paper, just based on paper, it doesn't seem like it's the right move. But I still think there's got to be something else to it. There's got to be another shoe to drop.
So I don't know if this could factor into that, but moments ago, the Canadiens now recall Victor Bartley from St. John. So after sending him to the American League at 2 o'clock, they've recalled him at 5 o'clock.
Again, there must be more to it. Now, you heard I've been watching Victor for a while, going back to when he played in the Western Hockey League in Kamloops. He's a safe player. He's a competitor. He's a battler. He's never going to embarrass himself. But again, he's a depth player for an NHL team.
So let me just clarify something. That Bartley has been added as a was he added before 5 or after 5? And the reason I point that out is you don't have to pay a guy for a day in the NHL if it's after 5 o'clock.
Well, based on the timeline of it, it looks like it was after 5.
Yeah, so that's he's with the team, which now would lend more credence to a logjam on the blue line and another move coming.
Right. Again, that's smart business. I know people are at home are saying, oh, they ripped that kid off of a day's NHL pay. That's just the way
everybody
does it. So just be fair to the Canadians in this one. That everybody does it. That's prudent business practice. I can just tell you that.
Pierre, it's hard to believe that this today, January 15th, was the high watermark with regards to value for Tenorti. Am I right in feeling that?
Well, they didn't polish the apple very well on Tenorti. Because his value was depreciating. Just from, again, Mitch, I think, what was it, a couple days ago when we were talking about he's never really been the same since he got KO'd?
Yeah.
He really never has been. The value's kind of dissipated on him, Rod. And I can tell you just from one manager that I was talking to, he was not prepared to pay more than a depth prospect and a middle-round pick to get the player. So, again, that was the perception around the league from different people.
So what happened? Even before the unfortunate scrap that he got into in the American Hockey League, he wasn't progressing to the degree that I know a lot of people wanted to see. There are others out there who don't believe he got a fair shake with this particular coach and general manager. And again, Tenorti was drafted by Pierre Gauthier, who made a move to move up and draft him. Does that enter into it? Are you a little less reluctant to finally give up on a player if you yourself didn't draft him?
No, I think in some organizations, yes. I think with this one, they're more enlightened than that. I don't think they're playing politics there. I really don't. I'd be surprised. Again, just knowing the people involved, knowing the mandate from ownership, I'm not sure politics is entering into any of this stuff. I mean, P.K. Subban wasn't drafted by these guys either, but they gave him a real long deal. It's pretty tasty. Same with Carey Price. So, no, I don't think that's part of it. The one you asked me what went wrong.
Yeah.
I personally think this is, and this is not to belittle anybody, I personally think he made a mistake. He committed to Notre Dame. Jeff Jackson had pro coaching talent. He had been around U.S. hockey development. He's a head coach at Notre Dame. They haven't produced a lot of prospects, but the one thing I can tell you that he does, as well as any college coach in the United States, he develops kids that know how to play defense. I'm not saying he produces a lot of great offensive players, because they haven't, but I will tell you this. They produce a ton of kids that know how to – look at Eric Condra in Tampa. He's a forward. He is a really good checking, penalty-killing specialist kind of player. He was developed at Notre Dame. So – I thought when he didn't go to Notre Dame and chose to go to the Ontario Hockey League, I thought that was a little bit of a mistake. Personally, I did. I thought that was a bit of a mistake. He needed time to develop in that kind of an incubator in college hockey, I personally felt.
Projected, if all went according to plan, Jared Tenorti was what here?
Oh, I think it could have been projected a 3-4 guy who could really be physical. You see how Petrie has evolved? I'll use Petrie as an example. That type of a player, he could have evolved into a Petrie type of a player. Now, here's the difference. Petrie goes to Michigan State. Petrie goes through the proper development course for him. Not every player has to go to college. A lot of them should go to major junior, but some need to go to college. And anyways, he goes to Michigan State, ends up going to the NHL, does really well, but plays on a team that's way under the radar in Edmonton, not very good, so he can play and get a lot of bad habits out of his system. Then he comes to Montreal and things start to work out for him in a positive way. I think Tenorti could have been like that.
Different player, though. I mean, Tenorti's not...
He's a 3-4. Petrie's a 3-4. And that's all I'm saying. You're asking me. He could have been in a 3-4 situation.
Yeah, because there are people out there going, what is he doing comparing Petrie's offense to Tenorti's defense?
No. But yeah. I'm saying in a 3-4 situation.
Yeah, you're talking pedigree. You're talking pedigree
right
here.
Yeah.
Like a bigger, stronger, tougher Mike Komisarek is what I think a lot of fans were expecting at some point.
Yeah, and a faster.
Yeah, a much better skater.
And a better skater than Mike, if that's what you're thinking. But again, Mike wasn't a 1-2. Mike wasn't. He just wasn't. But some guys there, including Andre Markov, helped him a ton. Mike would be the first person to tell you that when Komisarek was there. And what did him in? His dances with Milan Lucic. He was never the same. Would you agree? He was never the same after he got tattooed by Lucic.
No, it certainly appeared that way. With Pierre Maguire every afternoon at 5:05. Coming up at 5:35, Dave Stubbs resigned from the Montreal Gazette today. He is going to become the historian at NHL.com and do some writing from NHL.com. So, Pierre, I know you join me in wishing Dave all the best. It's a great gig that he got.
Well, it's very appropriate that he would be going to do that because his knowledge base of historical things in the National Hockey League is sacrosanct. I mean, that's phenomenal. That's great. That's an amazing appointment for him. It's a big loss for the Montreal Gazette. Dave's done yeoman's work for a very long period of time. I enjoy visiting with him whenever I'm around Montreal and when I used to see him on the road. That's a big loss, but great for Dave. Really, and great for NHL fans that read the NHL.com.
So before the Tenorti trade, there was already a news-making decision after the Canadiens practice before they boarded the flight, which didn't include Tenorti, to St. Louis.
He's got size. He skates really, really well. He's a good skater. And the role that we're going to give him, we think that we're going to have more heavy players, you know, on the fourth line.
That is Michel Therrien on Jacob Delarose being recalled from St. John's to play on the fourth line, while Alex Galchenyuk...
You know what? I really like what I saw from those two together, David and Chucky. And those two guys that they play together on a power play. When we have power plays, and they've been together. Yesterday, we're trying a push, and I like what I saw. So we're going to continue the experience. Haven't taken a final decision yet, but we'll take the decision tomorrow.
Galchenyuk on the left wing with Desharnais and presumably Dale Weiss, who's ready to return tomorrow night.
I was reading a report from John Liu about how the Canadiens weren't happy with Galchenyuk in zone coverage, and they thought that this could help him going back to the wing. Everybody, I think, knew that that would be the toughest part of the transition from wing to center, and it wasn't a problem when the Canadiens were winning, but now that everything's under a microscope, things change a little bit, and there's more pressure on everybody. So I can understand the subtle little move that way. In terms of Jacob Delarose, I was surprised he didn't make the opening night roster. I think we talked about that then. It's a good opportunity, a great opportunity for him. So hopefully he will take advantage of it and run with it.
Pierre, like the way I look at it with Galchenyuk, right? The Canadiens need goals right now, and it's way easier to score from the wing position, more easy to get shots from the wing position. You're going to distribute more at center. You have three centers and two spots. Galchenyuk has the most ability to score out of Eller, Desharnais, and Galchenyuk. So if you need more goals, you might... And Plekanec. And you'll get more goals with Galchenyuk on the wing, probably.
And that's what that's what we were just talking about. There's no question about that. Mitch Gallo, again, the scrutiny that's apparent in Montreal, they definitely need offense. And this is the other thing, too. Maybe by moving him to the wing, you create some different potential matchup situations, and maybe you make it a little bit easier. I watched the game last night like you guys did. You're not going to win a lot of games if Brendan Gallagher's not getting shots on goal. But he's such an important part of that group. So maybe this changes some matchups for the Canadiens in terms of what they're facing, especially going on the road against St. Louis. It's going to be an angry team after their game last night. So, no, that's a really good point by you, Mitch Gallo. Really good.
Look, if they're looking for a spark, fine, I get it. They need to find something somewhere. But moving forward... I mean, moving forward, we know what happened in the playoffs last year. All of their centermen totaled one goal each. That hasn't changed. That's not going to suddenly change overnight. And, you know, you put in Galchenyuk, if this is going to get a couple of guys going, fine. But at playoff time, if they're lucky enough now at this point to get in there, they better have a bigger centerman.
Well, that's exactly right. And we've talked about that for a long period of time. But if they don't get bigger people down the middle, it is going to be a problem. That's, again, I would agree. I mean, I can't agree more with what you're saying. You're preaching to the converted.
You got to make sure you're really responsible. For him, as a young centerman, depending against who you play, and he was playing with young kids, he was playing with lots of time with Danny Carr or Gunder Ghetto. Those are young kids. It's tough for young players to play against top players in the league. So it's a process.
Go ahead, Rod.
Based on what you were talking about with Mitch there, Pierre, the dire circumstances of the here and now is also kind of trumping the long-term development a little bit, right? And you can kind of sort of understand that based on their five wins since December 1st.
Yep. No, and again, I think right now they need to get rocking here, and they know it. Mitch made a really good point, and I'm talking about Melnick now. If they're fortunate enough to make it, that's going to be a big thing for that group right now. It's a confidence situation, too. You know, and I'm hearing people say, well, what about when Terry comes back? When Terry comes back, everything's going to get fixed. I have to ask the question, what kind of run support is this group getting? The goaltending in particular, what kind of run support are they getting?
So, Pierre, you mentioned St. Louis, and you know Corey Crawford did his thing again last night. And the Canadians have run some of the better goalies in the league. And when you're struggling offensively, it shouldn't be surprising that they're struggling for goals in that regard. Not the entire swoon here, but they have faced some of the best goalies in hockey. They're going into St. Louis tomorrow. Jake Allen's had a great year. He's hurt. Brian Elliott was yanked last night. And he destroyed some sticks when he was taken out after that third goal, after giving Ken Hitchcock that death stare. If the Canadians are ever going to get going offensively, I mean, whoever's in goal for St. Louis tonight is certainly capable of having a very good game, but they're not the quality of goaltender that they faced of late. Do you think there's a possibility there that some goals go in?
I hope so. But again, you don't know. Now, I do think that there's an issue there with Elliott and Ken Hitchcock. There's been some issues in terms of how they've been relating and whether they're on the same page. But this is also a team in St. Louis that's got a wealth of injuries right now. I mean, they got a lot of guys hurt and a lot of key guys hurt on defense in particular with Jay Bouwmeester and obviously not having Jaden Schwartz. So, no, you would hope that they could get some goals to go to the back of the net. That's going to be the big thing to watch because this is a game where the Canes shouldn't be tired. They should have got some rest and they should be ready to go.
All right, we said 3 points out of the three games, Chicago, St. Louis, Chicago. Again, not being able to get at least a loser point. So now they've got this back-to-back tomorrow in St. Louis and Chicago. Do you amend your hope for projection of 3 points?
No, I think that's really important for them to get 3 points. I mean, it really is. It's critically important.